Here's a question today from Chandini. I think Dr. Chandini now, and she's asking, do musical instruments have souls when they are used in the service of Krishna? I feel this way regarding my flute. The answer to the question is no. A musical instrument, a flute, or for that matter anything used in Krishna service does not become a spiritual living entity. It becomes spiritualized by engaging in Krishna service, but being spiritualized doesn't mean that something therefore acquires a spirit or a soul and it becomes animate matter as opposed to inanimate matter. And let's examine that because it is an important point of philosophy in order for us to be able to distinguish spirit from matter and the different types of matter from spirit. Krishna talks about the bhumirapona-lo-vayu, or the material energy, as being his bina-prakriti, his separated material energy. And separated, of course, everything is connected to Krishna, but is it connected directly or is it connected indirectly? Material energy is under the auspices of Maya Devi, as we were discussing yesterday when talking, or the other day when talking about Durga. And spiritual world is directly under Krishna's authority, as his authority, as Krishna directly controls them. So nothing is really disconnected with Krishna, but the question is something direct or something indirect? The material world and matter is not directly under Krishna's control, but under the control of his external agency as opposed to his own internal personal potency. And that material energy then has two different states. One is when it's not used in Krishna's service, and the other one is when it is used in Krishna's service. When something is not used in Krishna's service, that is really called Maya. It's disconnected. And when matter is used in Krishna's service, anasakta shavishayan yatara dupayunjita, then it has proper use, just like everything, whether material or spiritual, should always be used in Krishna's service. And we say that such matter becomes spiritualized. The example is of sticking an iron rod in fire, that the rod is intrinsically a different energy, a different material than fire, but it becomes fiery by contact with it. Similarly, matter, by being connected to Krishna, by being connected to Krishna, assumes assumes the nature of Krishna's internal potency in certain ways. It becomes Krishnized, we say. Let me give an example. For instance, just similar to the fire in the rod, but an electrical wire. An electrical wire is a conduit for electricity, and anywhere you touch it, it feels like electricity. But it remains an electrical wire. It's different from the electricity itself. And one thing for sure is that it doesn't become conscious of itself being a conduit for that electricity. Similarly, the spiritualized matter, when it becomes a conduit for Krishna's internal potency, does not become conscious. It remains unconscious. It remains material. Unless Krishna himself transforms it. And of course, Krishna can do anything because he's God. But we can't transform it. Just because we're playing a flute, which is a instrument made of material energy, does not mean that because it's connected in Krishna's service, it's spiritualized, but it does not become a conscious living entity. It does not become conscious matter. It remains unconscious matter. When Krishna plays a flute, he can transform a dull piece of matter into just a piece of bamboo. He can transform it into a living entity that is consciously challenging the gopis. I'm tasting the lips of Krishna. You're not tasting the lips. I challenge you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking this way when he talks about the competition between the gopis and the flute. Gopis are criticizing the flute in this way. So this is the nature of spiritualized matter in the hands of Vaishnavas. There's another spiritualized matter in the hands of Vaishnavas which does actually become conscious. And for instance, that's the deity form of the Lord. So we and conditioned living entities, what to speak of non-devotees, will see that this is a marble statue, and they think that we're worshipping a marble statue, and that that actually helps us become God-conscious. We attribute qualities to it. That's not the case. Krishna, personally, because he agrees to, he actually makes that deity a non-different form of himself. It is living. Not only is it living matter, but it's matter that's transformed into Satchitananda. It continues to look like matter to those whose consciousness is like that, but for those whose consciousness is otherwise, then it appears differently. And then conscious spiritual substance, which is in the spiritual world, where everything is conscious, where houses and the flute and the ground is conscious, is because there everything is made of Krishna's internal potency. It hasn't been spiritualized. It's spiritual. And not only is it spiritual, but it's also conscious, whatever it is, whatever form that it takes. So whereas in this world that we live in, we are conscious living entities, and everything else is unconscious. So it's important for us to maintain that distinction between these two aspects of Krishna's potencies, the conscious and the unconscious one. And of course, we shouldn't think that we have that type of power or potency in order to transform something into a living entity. Nonetheless, we do have the potency and, as Vaishnavas, the responsibility to engage matter in Krishna's service, to get the best out of any type of material thing, because by doing so, then we both benefit ourselves and we benefit others. The food that we offer to Krishna, it is also material. When offered to Krishna, it becomes prasadam. When it becomes prasadam, that means that it takes on Krishna's mercy is imbued with it, and takes on certain qualities of the internal potency, but it does not become conscious. It still remains unconscious. And when we eat it and others eat it, then they get a wonderful benefit. That wonderful benefit is that knowingly or unknowingly, they've contacted Krishna's personal potencies. And in that way, they become purified, because they're contacting spirit, they're contacting that energy, that by its inherent nature will remind us of Krishna, but it hasn't become conscious. Ultimately, this concept of everything being one, doing away with the distinction between matter and spirit, is an impersonal conception. Sarva kala idam brahma, that ultimately everything is actually spirit, everything is Brahman, and it's only our consciousness that covers things and makes things into material. But everything is actually Brahman, everything is all one. But we see that Brahman has distinctions, vishesh, it has distinct qualities, and it manifests itself in different ways. And that Brahman manifests itself in a temporary form, and it manifests itself in an eternal form, spiritual form. It manifests itself in conscious ways, and it manifests itself also in non-conscious ways. Keeping that conception in mind will help us from not becoming distracted into some type of philosophical misunderstandings, which leads us to the conclusion that actually everything is all one, or that we also have the type of potencies or powers that Krishna does to transform things into life, give life to things. Yesterday Govinda Maharaj arrived, today Havi Prabhu is arriving, and everyone's getting ready for the festival weekend. Look forward to those who are also coming, and those who are not will keep you abreast of developments and put things on the site as we can. In fact, that's a good question, how we're going to be putting things on the site if those who are actually moderating and managing are here, but I'm sure they have an arrangement made for that. Thank you very much, and Hare Krishna.